This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Christy Landwehr from Aurora, Colorado, and you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April the 21st, episode 1152. This episode is brought to you by the Certified Horsemanship Association and Balance Rider. Good morning, Horse World.
Houston, we have a problem.
Ability equals skill plus knowledge.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Here's a safety tip for you from the Certified Horsemanship Association.
Missed it by that much.
How can I change this to make it better the next time?
Help you, I can. Yes.
Time for Training Tuesday on Horses in the Morning with the Certified Horsemanship Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining us on this third Tuesday of the month, and that's when we have Christy here from the Certified Horsemanship Association. It is just too early in the morning. How do you say that so early in the morning?
I know. I've had lots of practice, or I just use good old CHA.
I'm going to go to that because, you know, it just CHA is so much easier before you've had your second cup of coffee, I think. And you know, I have to say, too, that you've maintained your top five position as far as the number of people listening every month. So you're doing very well compared to the other episodes we do all month long. So people are definitely interested in learning about training and the things that the Certified Horsemanship Association has to offer.
Wonderful. We appreciate that. We like to do a lot of sharing on our Facebook page, too. That's always been fun and getting the word out about everything you all do. So I'm glad that they're taking advantage and listening in and listening afterwards as well. That's great news.
Well, we want to welcome everybody that are new listeners. We talked about it yesterday. I haven't told Christy that for some reason in the past week and a half, the number of people downloading our app has been up about 10 times what it normally is every day. And that has continued for the last 10 days. So I don't know if we got bumped higher on a listing somewhere, or maybe iOS or Android bumped us higher, you know, we're featured in the App Store or something. But we've just seen, and I have no rhyme or reason for why we've seen all the downloads, but it's been hundreds and hundreds of downloads after the last couple of days. And it's just like, I don't know where they're coming from. So that's kind of fun.
Well, hello, new people. That's great news.
Yeah. And what we do here is we do talk about training issues and things. The Certified Horsemanship Association, that's their mission in life. And Christy is, what's your official title there?
Yeah, CEO. That would be the official title of the day.
Okay, so you're CEO of the Certified Horsemanship Association. She's the boss. She's in charge. I get to hang out
most of the time.
And for those that don't know, Christy has been coming on our shows. We've been around doing shows now for 7 years, and I think you've been coming on for almost that long, off and on through the different shows, and we finally got to get you to do this once a month. And it's a lot of fun to finally have you on a regular basis.
I love it. You know, not a lot of people know. They always assume that I went to college to do horse-related things, since that's the industry I'm now in. But I actually went to college to be a television news reporter or a radio kind of reporter. And that was actually my schooling and my internship. So this is a really fun part of my job every month. I get to actually do what my degree is in. What a concept.
Not too many people do that anymore. Did you... especially those people, and we have a niece that did this. She got a degree in the fine arts. Guess what she does now? She does computer programming. So
I love it.
I don't know if you can consider that a fine art, but it's actually one that pays the bill. So
that's right.
I think I think she had wished that after looking back on it. I just read an article the other day. It's funny you mentioned that. That 85% of the people do not work in the field they got a degree in.
That's large.
Yep. I mean, that's 85%. That's hard to believe.
That's higher than I thought it would be. Yeah.
When you...
One thing that is useful, though, is, you know, when we're getting our degrees, all that general education credit we have to take, some of it really
yeah.
does help. Like my marketing classes,
yeah.
my public relation classes I took, you know, all of those were really helpful for what I do now.
I guess that's the whole point behind the whole the college degree stuff is that you get enough that you can apply it to a lot of different areas.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And Glenn's gone and doesn't know it.
Am I here?
Oh, okay. He's back.
Glenn, why don't you just hang up and call back because you keep disappearing
okay.
every third word.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and Glenn is hilarious and all, but not when he's every third word.
Every third word is a little bit more challenging.
It's the radio version of autofill on your text. It's just not any good at all.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that doesn't work very well, autofill. I don't like autofill when I text, let alone when I'm on the radio, Jen. So, no,
there
we've got to make sure to get him fixed.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, for those that don't know, Certified Horsemanship Association, we've been around, 48 years now, and
really?
We're the largest certifying body of instructors in the United States. So we've been doing this a long time. We've just certified 25,000 people.
Wow.
Yeah. Long time.
I didn't know you guys had been around that long. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Coming up to our 50th in 2 years.
So you guys were probably one of the first national organizations in the United States to do this type of work, because I know over the years there have been organizations that come and go, and some of them that are associated with registries or discipline associations, but you guys are probably the first independent group to do this.
Yes, we absolutely were, and our name back then was actually Camp Horsemanship Association, because most of our members at the time were in YMCA, Christian camping, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, things like that. And then in the 80s, we changed our name, kept our acronym, and changed to Certified Horsemanship, because only about 40% of our members now are in camping, which is still a really large percentage. And then 60% are independent instructors, or they work at a university or college, or they teach out of their own property, or whatever the case may be. So that's kind of how the history went.
Huh. Well, you learn something every day, don't you?
Yeah, pretty good. So
I'm back.
It's exciting. Hey! Hi, Glenn.
Let's hope it stays. Let's see if we can actually get a whole show in without me fading out.
We will give it a try. So
well,
I would love to just kind of... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Jennifer's going to tell us what's coming up today.
Okay, great.
On today's Certified Horsemanship Association Balance Rider Tuesday, it's all about the balance. And Robin Postman from Granbury, Texas, and Tara Reimer from Steinbeck, Manitoba, Canada, are both going to stop by with some great insight into what balance looks and feels like, as well as some tips on how to achieve it. So stay tuned for the fray.
Thank you, Jennifer. Well, we are going to take a look at what is coming up over the next month with the Certified Horsemanship Association. You guys are in full swing right now, I guess, with your clinics and everything.
We are. This is the time of year where everyone's getting their staff certified or themselves certified before the busy summer season, with a lot of the different things that people do during the summer, whether it's showing or camping or just riding on trail or whatever the case may be. So a lot of people, and you mentioned Tara is on today from Manitoba. We do have quite a few clinics coming up in Canada as well as the U.S. So just really quickly, there is one in British Columbia. For those folks listening that are up there, you can either attend or audit. Going to be an English and Western clinic, and it's going to be in Maple Ridge. And then in Manitoba, over in Steinbeck, actually Tara is doing a couple of clinics in April. She's doing English and Western ones as well. So you can get on our website and find out more about these and how to contact the host and see about auditing or attending. Ontario has a couple of going on as well. One of them is in Little Current, Ontario, and one is in Brantford. So, again, you can find out more about them by going on to our website. And then down here in the good old USA, we've got a couple going on in Alabama. in May, and one in Mentone, and actually both of them are going to be in Mentone. And then in Alaska, we have one in Sutton. So for those that are interested in the Alaska area or live up there, that's another possibility. Arizona has a couple.
Alaska, I volunteer to go up and help.
You want to go to that one?
Yeah, I'll go to
especially
help.
Especially in May.
I'll be good.
I would love for you to go. That would be great fun. Well, you know, we do driving clinics, so when we have one of those coming up, for sure, Glenn, since I know that's your discipline specialty.
Oh. It's funny you mention that because Lisa Kelly, Ice Road Trucker Lisa Kelly, is a listener of our shows, and she's been on the shows a number of times, and she loves driving, and she has horses, and she loves driving, and she's been trying to get Wendy to come up and do a clinic up in Alaska for a long time. So there are a bunch of people up there.
We have quite a few of our members in Alaska. We do, which is great. But then on the opposite end of the A's, the opposite side as far as heat goes is Arizona, and Chino Valley is actually doing an instructors for riders with disabilities for those that work with clients. Along those lines, that's going to be a good one. And then in Arkansas, we have one going on in Rogers. And then California has quite a few. We have some down south, kind of the Palomar Mountain area, and then we have one up north in Saratoga. Good old Colorado, I'm actually going to be doing it. It's next week in Littleton. And then in Connecticut, we've got one going on in Ellington. Georgia, we have a couple going on as well in Malone. Illinois, there's one in the Ozarks. So you, as you can see, Glenn, this is definitely our busy time. For those that are in Iowa, there's one in Granger. Kansas, we have one in Ottawa. Kentucky, there's one in Union. Maine has one in Buxton. Maryland has a couple of going on in Rockville and in Northeast. And Michigan has one in Middleville. Missouri, they're in Lebanon this year. And New York, we have Houghton, Clarryville are both doing them this year. We also have some in North Carolina. St. Andrews is doing one in Laurinburg. We have Hendersonville. We also have Sapphire. So I'll tell you, pretty much all the areas of the country, I'm not even through the alphabet yet. Ohio has some in Hartville and Clinton and Franklin Furnace, Oregon and Waymack and in Silverton, Pennsylvania and Halifax, and South Carolina, Liberty Hill, Tennessee is in Murfreesboro, Texas, there's going to be one in Roanoke, and also Mountain Home, and in Washington, Auburn and Stanwood and Yacolt. West Virginia has one in Morgantown, and Wyoming has a couple of going on in Cheyenne, including one that is equine facility manager certification. This is actually a barn manager certification instead of a riding instructor certification. So get on our website, go under clinics, and see if you want to come and play at any of those with us.
Now, to go to a clinic, you can go to audit a clinic, or you can go to get certified at a clinic. Am I right?
That is correct, either way.
So even if you're not ready to get certified or you're just curious about how the whole system works, it really is a great place to learn about the CHA. You'll learn a lot of information, how to get and how these things work. And it's a great place to do some networking with other horsemen of like mind.
Absolutely. And what's fun about them is, you know, you can audit just for a day, or you can certainly audit for the entire thing. Our barn manager one is only a three-day process, whereas the Instructors for Riders with Disabilities and the English Western ones do go for the full 5 days. But they are great to come and learn. There's a lot of education that takes place as well as the certification aspect. And it's a super idea if you are an instructor to come first maybe and audit a day before you actually come and attend maybe in a future year, just to make sure that you kind of know everything that's going on and then you're ready to go once you get there.
And what is the website for folks who are not familiar with it?
The best one to go to and the easiest one to say on the radio is chainstructors.com. That's our online database of instructors and barns within a zip code or postal code searchable area. And then you can go up top to clinics, and they're either by date or by location. And you can find the list of the ones that you think are either near you or, like Glenn, you want to get on an airplane and go attend, like in Alaska.
That would be pretty cool. Make it a, you know, treat yourself. Well, I want to take a lovely vacation, but make it a horsey vacation because that's always better. And go to a clinic in some really cool location.
Absolutely. I was spoiled. I did my clinic in a really nice location. It was up here in the mountains, and it was at a 5-star guest resort where we had gourmet food. So I stayed a little bit extra, and I made it a vacation. I said, you know, if you're going to torture me and have me be certified for 5 days and test me, I want meals to be good. And it was a great time.
There we go. Do you have any in Hawaii?
You know, we do occasionally have them on the Big Island or in Maui, but we don't this year. Right now, there is not a site that's doing one this year, but maybe next year.
Maybe next. So this year, it's going to be Alaska vacation. That's what I'm predicting.
There you go. That sounds
there
good
go.
To me.
Now, what else have you got going over at the CHA?
Well, one other thing I'd love to talk about today is for those that are listening that are interested in education about horsemanship, whether it's training tips or whether it's things, health and herd management for your horses, we have a webinar series. And most of our webinars last an hour to an hour and a half. They're all downloadable and recorded, so you can listen to them at any time. And again, if you go to that same website I just gave, chainstructors.com, and go under webinars, they're all listed there. And some of them are risk management in a horsemanship program, how to help yourself if you're just starting up or if you're in a brand new one and you see some things that are risky, what are some ways to help alleviate that. Teaching techniques for riding instructors is on there. There's an equine forage management technique, so basically pasture and manure management. And then there's marketing and social media. And I know a lot of us that are out in the barn all day, we're not the best at getting on the computer and doing what we need to do to market ourselves. So this one tells you how to do it without you even being behind the computer. You can sit there and put stuff in on a Monday, and it'll post for you all week long. So things like that to learn. Equine behavior with our friend Julie Goodnight, who's, of course, a certified instructor with us, and that is a great one. Insurance for the private horse owner and the equine professional with actually an insurance agent, so who's talking about current claims and some things to avoid. Educational opportunities at colleges and universities is a really good one. And then this one just passed because, of course, the 15th has come and gone, but what the IRS looks for in your horse business. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. How to avoid those pitfalls. And then this one's kind of interesting, Jen, and it might make you laugh as well, Glenn. Horses and hormones, what mares have taught us about menopause. It's really good. It is really good. Teresa Knight does a great job, and she's the chief medical officer for Women's Health in St. Louis. Oh, my goodness, she does a great webinar. So if I haven't intrigued you by that one, then I don't know what will. It's well done.
Is it about how menopause affects your business?
It's actually horses and hormones, what mares have taught us about menopause. That's all I'm going to say. You have to go download it and listen to it to find out more. It is well done.
That's funny. Can you hear me now, by the way? I had to switch computers completely, so I'm hoping this is better.
Oh, you sound great.
Yes. Okay, good, good. I had to change things up here. I don't know what was going on there. But Jennifer is rounding up our first guest for the day, and I know we're going to be talking a lot about balance. It's something that, you know, we have to think about actually a little bit driving, but not as much as you riders do. It's much more important for you than it is for us.
And it's a really interesting concept, and I'm sure our guests will talk about it, Shay, because it's balance not only for the rider, but then balance for the horse. Is that horse a balanced
right.
horse? You know, some horses are not balanced, and then that can cause issues. And so the combination of the two working together, of course, creates nice harmony.
And that you know, balance for the horse does apply to carriages as well, you know, whether you're a rider or a driver. That applies to both.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you, they're just finishing up with the World Cup in Vegas, and I was watching a clip last night where one of the cutting gentlemen got on a jumping horse and jumped a course, and then one of the ladies that normally jumps got on and did cutting. I'll tell you, that was fun to watch in regards to balance, right? Because it does change our balance, the discipline that we do, and the type of saddle we ride in, and what the horse moves underneath us, and we've got to kind of adjust accordingly. And, you know, a hunt seat rider and a jumping rider rides very differently from a cutter as far as where your center of balance is located over that horse. So that was fun to watch.
Now, I didn't get a chance to see it, but I did hear. I read about it, and I read that the Western rider actually did better jumping than the jumper did trying to do cutting.
I would agree with that. Yes, that is what I saw. Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
But both of them, kudos to them to try something new. I was very impressed.
Yeah, it's always fun when they do those switch things because it is entertaining for the audience, if nothing else.
Yes.
All right, very good. Well, our first guest is ready.
Wonderful. I am excited to introduce to you Jim Lauder. Jim and his wife, actually Joe, created Balance Rider, which he's going to be talking about today. And I met him at the Rocky Mountain Horse Expo that we just had here in Denver in March. And what he created to help riders of all kinds with their balance is pretty amazing, and we'll let him talk more about it. But it is a thrill to have you on the show today, Jim. Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me, Christy. I appreciate it.
So as the inventor of Balance Rider, can you briefly describe it for all of our listeners today?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things that comes to mind, and I kind of tell people it's profoundly simple but radically effective. It's a barrel-shaped seat that sits on top of a universal joint, and what it does is once the rider mounts it, it responds to your imbalance. There's no motor on it. It's basically all about your balance. So you're always behind it, and when it starts to go out of balance, it's your job to bring it back into balance.
So what do you see as its purpose? Why did you create it, and what are ways that you're seeing that it's helping?
Well, I can tell you what was kind of funny when I started this project. This is a combination of both my wife and my passion. My background's in exercise science. She's the horseman in the world, and proprioceptor spinal stabilization exercise, which commonly we know in the world as core exercise, had come about 5-6 years ago, and everything's off your feet, and I started thinking about horses because of my wife, and this is kind of off of your seat. And I started asking people, you know, clinicians and instructors, you know, what is a balanced seat? What is seated balance? What does that mean? And I kind of got the same thing. It was a little esoteric. People would say, well, I kind of know when I see it, and I'd say, how do you get it? And he said, well, more time in the saddle. So I just kind of put two and two together, and we put together a product that not only improves your seat, but it also kind of diagnoses it and tells you where you're starting from.
See, I think that's really good. So how do you think it helps horses?
Well, the neat thing about that is all the time you put it on the top of this product is really time in the saddle, not just time in the saddle, and it's in your own room, in your own living room or at your tack room or whatever, wherever you want to take it, it's very portable, is the horse is getting just as much benefit because as you become more balanced and on top of your horse, then the horse has less chance for injuries. Your line of communication is more clear. Horse is ready to take cues from you, and it's a win-win situation for both horse and rider.
So Glenn and Jen, Jim had this in his booth in March, and it was on family day for me. On Sunday when I'm about to tear down my booth, I bring my whole family to help me tear down my booth. So it was kind of the end of the day on Sunday, and so I got on it first of all, and then my husband got on it. My husband is a mixed martial arts guy, and he was very intrigued. You know, he's much like you, Jim. He's not the rider, but he's definitely physically active, and he was very intrigued by it. He thought it'd be useful even for him, not as a rider, but just in general to help with core and kind of analyzing. And then, of course, my boys got on it, and then it was all over. We couldn't get them off the thing. They thought that was the coolest thing ever, that they really enjoyed it.
So it is let me get this right, this, because we are radio here.
So
you have a stand, okay,
uh-huh.
And then on top of the stand is what kind of looks like a half barrel with padding on it. And underneath that, is that articulated? There is a joint, so it's articulated, so the top half barrel part actually moves.
You got it, Glenn. That's exactly
okay.
It. So
okay.
That barrel will spin, and what makes it unique, and one of the reasons we were able to obtain our patent is that it spins in all three axis or rotation, side to side, front to front, and it also spins 360 degrees.
Oh.
So with your feet off the ground, and again, only product out there where you actually balance without your feet, which obviously in the general world people would go, oh, why would I not use my feet?
Thing.
You
yeah.
got it. No stirrups.
Right.
This is all about sitting right down on it, feeling your seat bones. And the side to side, I'm sorry, Glenn, the 360 degree rotation allows you to see that you may be putting some pressure so slightly on a seat bone, and it will start spinning that way. So So it not only shows you real radical imbalance, somebody can be quite balanced and sit on it and get all sorts of diagnostics and say, well, you know, about 60 to 70% of people who sit on it spin one way consistently. And as we go through the process, they're usually, why is this happening? And my inevitable question is, as just kind of a novice horseman, does your horse like to go one direction easier? And they say, yeah, as a matter of fact, it likes to go this way. So it kind of tends to give you an idea what may be happening very, very subtly, that you're cueing the horse and you don't even realize it.
Then the joint that is holding this up is very sensitive, then, I would assume.
Very sensitive. As a matter of fact, is it sitting without anybody on it, you can put probably as little as a quarter of a pound on it, and it will affect the balance of the top of the unit.
All right, Christy. So how'd you do when you sat on it? What'd you learn?
I'll tell you what I found out about it is it even your breathing matters, which, of course, we know breathing matters when you ride, right? You breathe out, and technically your horse should go slower because you relax your muscles. You breathe in, and technically you tighten your muscles, and your horse should go faster. It affects this thing. This thing is so sensitive that if you breathe out, you shift back, and if you breathe in, you shift forward. It's actually really fascinating. I learned quite a bit. It was good.
Huh. Interesting. And, you know, the cool part about this is You don't have the variable of the horse.
This thing
is going to react the same way every time. You know, you don't have him spooking underneath you at every little thing he looks at. And so that is really cool because you are going to get the same thing every time.
Exactly. And that's a really good point, Glenn, because you're trying to work on yourself as, you know, the other half of the 50-50 partnership that is, you know, horse and rider. And unfortunately, a vast majority, you know, we'll put a lot of work in on the horse or ask the horse to do an awful lot, and then we kind of don't, you know, look at ourselves about what we should be bringing to the party, so to speak, as the alpha partner. And this is an opportunity to, you know, spend some time and really get some feedback and then get some aggressive, you know, exercise physiology behind it. It says that you can't learn how to balance on this apparatus unless your core strength basically takes over and starts to improve. That's the only way that you can basically balance on the top of the unit. So you're exactly right. Away from the horse, you can start finding out an awful lot about yourself, and then when you get back together with the horse is real happy. A whole new rider, we like to say.
I got one more question here. I think there's the base model, and then it comes with a tension adjuster, and then there's also, it says, with a laser. Now, is that for somebody else to shoot you off of it when you're not doing well?
I like that, Glenn. That might be a new
bad boy.
Idea. Yes.
My boys would love that.
Well, you know, there's a couple things that came in with the laser. We had people, when they were getting on it, and saying, I can't tell if the top of the barrel's parallel to the ground when I'm sitting on it. It's a, you know, there's a feel that goes behind that. And it's a learning curve a bit, but in the meantime, people were getting frustrated, and they would say stuff, well, maybe you could put a bubble level on top of it. Well, I'm even, you know, smart enough to know that when you ride, you don't look straight down at your saddle. So that wasn't really the answer. And I had a very, very fine horseman named Gene LaCroix who had looked at the product and said, why don't you put a laser on it that you can point at a wall, you know, 10 feet out in front of you, and kind of put a mark there that helps them understand where parallel to the ground is that they're sitting on. So that's kind of where that came to. And now we're also working on products and advances where we can do some gaming. Once you kind of figure out the base and you're working on your core system and you get that strengthened, we're actually looking at the ability to use that laser, almost like the old laser tag games where you'd put laser targets on a wall. The lights would come on, and the laser that you're sitting on and controlling with your seat would be how you would go ahead and play the game.
Is that what that little hole in the front is? That's the laser?
Yep.
The little hole?
Yeah,
okay.
The laser's mounted underneath the seat, up underneath on that barrel, and the hole is where the laser light comes out through.
I see. You know, now if you can combine this with a virtual reality first-person shooter, you got some. You're going to be selling a million of them.
So you're shooting off your seat. Well, one of the funny things when you start talking about gaming is I've actually had that kind of thing where Christy brought the family, and the family comes in, and mom and young daughter are the horse activists, and the little kid, you know, their little brother's been drugged, and he doesn't really want to be there. He jumps on and gets crazy over it. And, you know, we start talking about gaming, and I've had a few people have bought it, so the son actually has to sit on it when he's playing his gaming, so at least he's getting some kind of work while he's while he's gaming on his Xbox or whatever.
Good idea.
Yeah, it is.
Or you know what? You put the son on that while the mom and daughter are riding their horse. The son can ride that on the outside, so the son's still a part of it, too, if the son doesn't want to ride horses. See, there's all kinds of possibilities here.
You know, the sky is the limit on this product. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Glenn.
No, I was just going to say, Jim, you know, since we do have quite a few riding instructors listening, what do you see are some benefits to riding instructors to have one of these in their barns?
I tell you what, the very best part about it, Christy, is the When you put somebody on it, you immediately get diagnostics back from where they are, where they're starting from, what kind of balance issues they may have. You know, it gives them a great amount of feedback for the person who's teaching the student, and then it just really automatically goes from diagnostics to benefit of almost a training device that sitting on it automatically improves your core strength. And as an instructor, you know, sometimes you wonder, is this person getting it? And they may very well understand it, the mental aspect of it, but they just don't quite have the physical aspect. You know, they don't have the athleticism to accomplish what the instructor is asking them to do. So this gives you all sorts of feedback, say, okay, this person might have some issues I want to be aware of, and it might be some of the reasons that person isn't able to accomplish what you're asking them to do.
Very good point.
I know there's a ton of instructors that start with. I know there's a ton of instructors that start with groundwork first,
yep.
And they're working on rein handling and things like that. And I could see this as the next step, going from the ground instruction to the balance rider, and then onto the horse. I can see that as a kind of a step up thing.
Very true, Glenn. Very true. Yeah, and you know what you end up doing when you start doing stuff like that is, as you're sitting on the rider, it allows the student and even the instructor at times how little kind of things happen and transfer through your seat to the horse. Now the horse is stable, so you don't necessarily feel the way you would with the rider. And on the rider, it might cause you spin right or left because it's basically has the aspects of physics in it. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So, like, I've had actually people who are ropers, I heard you talking about reining and so forth, who actually can sit on the rider and spin a rope over their head. They've got great seat of balance. But what's interesting is they spin the rope, the seat spins the opposite direction of the rope. So they're starting to understand the physics that, okay, what does that mean to my horse? Or I've actually had a reiner who can sit on it very imperceptibly and make it spin one direction, just like he does and cues his horse, and it'll spin that direction, never touching the ground with his feet, stops it slowly, spins it the other direction. So the neat thing about the rider is a lot of what you can do on it, the horse would respond the same way without having put the horse through that kind of those kind of exercises.
Christy, this is pretty cool. We sit on a lot of my hosts for the shows. We sit on the balls. We sit on the exercise balls during the day, and
it just
gives you a little bit of exercise and keeps you awake, basically.
Right.
And if I sat on one of these, we always talked about being bucked off the ball. But if I sat on one of these, you would probably hear me going, "Whoa, wait a minute!"
That could actually end up happening. But ultimately, what's kind of a neat process. I tell people this is kind of the same thing as a ball, and I always recommend, that's a great place to start. And because your feet are still on the ground, you're connected to the ground through the natural aspect of your feet. So when I get your feet up off the ground, I refer to the balance rider kind of as the ball on steroids. And, this will spin any direction that it needs to, go, that, and you're cueing it to go that way. But what's interesting is how you know you're really getting better is, as you sit on it and you're starting to get more and more balance, and you would actually be able to do it in the studio, you actually get to the point where you're not thinking about it anymore. Your upper brain's not engaged. Just like when you're trying to improve your seated balance when you're on the saddle, you certainly can't be thinking about that with all the other things. It has to become natural. And that's really the point with this. You sit on it long enough, you go through phase one, you understand what the unit does and how your body's responding, and pretty soon you're sitting on it without thinking about it, and you can do pretty much any activity while you're on top of the rider.
Cool. That's very cool. And then once you have that muscle memory, then you're good to go.
Right. And I would I would actually I would encourage you, it's really not muscle memory, because muscle memory is like a golf swing and it's over and over and over and over, that same kind of thing.
Yeah.
This really, because it's radically, it goes any direction at any time. There's no way to know or predict what's coming up. This really works on, you know, the physiology that says I can handle anything that comes my way. So when that horse may be going along and makes that you know, that sudden move that I've seen and most every rider has ever seen or had happen to him, and you get a chance to stay up on the horse, well, if your brain had to get involved, it was most likely too late. This is working on that system to help that acuity to allow you to adjust to any movement that may be coming.
Cool. Very cool.
Well, thank you.
Very.
Makes good sense. So, Jim, how do people that are listening find you? I know you have your website and you also have a Facebook page. Can you go ahead and give them the site address and how they would find you on Facebook?
You bet. The best way to get a hold of me is get on any of the, you know, the search engines. And if you punch in the word balance rider, and it's important to know there's no D at the end of the word balanced. Balance goes right from balance to the word rider. BalanceRider.com on any search engine will pop up our website. And then on Facebook, it's the same thing, Balance Rider.
Great. Well, Jim, I so appreciate you being on today. I'm excited to find out more ways that we can do things with you and Joe. I think that this is a great, great thing for riders and instructors both, and helping horses too. So it's a win-win for everybody. Thank you.
Well, thank you so very much, Glenn and Christy, for having me on. And I'm looking forward to how we can help folks out, both, you know, the person and the horse. So I'm looking forward to the future to see what we can do.
Thanks,
great.
Jim, and
sounds
good luck
good.
With it.
Thank you so much, Glenn. Chrissy, take care.
Hey, that's a really cool toy. And, you know, I can see for instructors this would be great, because you could, you know, you could be standing, you could put the reins in their hands, you could do different you could do different activities with the reins. I mean, you could do a bunch of different stuff with this. I've never seen
it. It would
this
be cool. You know, I was thinking like direct pressure bits, like holding with two hands versus then stick a Rommel in their hand and make them ride one-handed, because boy, did your balance change when you ride one-handed sometimes, right? So, all kinds of cool stuff. Very exciting.
I can see this for instructors for sure. I mean, you know, or any, pretty much any equestrian center could make use of one of these. I had never seen this before. It was a good find. So you found this at the trade show?
Yeah, actually, the original find was in Massachusetts. We had a booth at Equine Affair, and Jim and one of our volunteers in the booth they had booths relatively close to one another. So that they started chatting, and then I found out that he was going to be at an expo that I was going to be at. So I went by his booth, and we started talking, and it was just an instant, wow, this is a really neat product. And I love it because it's a relatively new kind of exciting cutting-edge product, right? There's not a bunch of them out there. What he's doing is very unique. And so from all that, it's like, well, this is exciting. Not to mention my boys enjoy being at that booth, Glenn, and I need to have my boys entertained when I'm at some of these trade shows. So that was also very good. Ulterior motive.
It's interesting, too, because you said about your husband being in the martial arts, so, and that's all about balance. So it's interesting.
Yes.
He probably got a lot out of it, too.
He definitely did.
You know, just realizing what your body's doing or not doing.
And like you said, it's well built. And, you know, my husband's an electrician, and so he's always looking at how things are made. And he was checking it out. He flipped the thing over, checked it out, and then told me, yeah, this is not cheaply made. This is very well made and would last a really long time. So that's good news.
And they run about $500 from what I can see on the website. You can check out the different options and things, but it's about $500. So, and then they'll ship it right out to you. Really cool. Well worth the investment. Well, we have our next guest. We're going to continue talking about balance, but in a little different way.
Wonderful. This is Robin Postman Benson, and she lives in Granbury, Texas. She is a clinician with CHA, not only a master instructor with us, but she also certifies our folks that come to our clinics. She also is very involved in, she was very involved in teaching agriculture and FFA with high schools in Vermont. I met her actually through CHA, but she's been doing lots of other things, three-day eventing, combined training events. Now she's in Texas, and she now does some competitive reining, cutting, and ranch horse versatility and team roping. She trains horses, and she also teaches lessons. She does both. She also has spent some time in Ireland, visiting breeding farms, being a part of those, fox hunting. So she's very well-rounded, and it is just great to have you on today. Robin, how are you?
I'm great, Christy. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
So what is balance to you as an instructor and as a rider? What does that mean? How would you define it, since that's our topic of the day?
Gosh, that's a broad subject. So balance for me, let's focus today on sort of the whole horse and rider approach, because I think that, like anything, you have to have a solid foundation. So we'll begin the discussion in talking about balance as the whole picture for the horse and rider needing to be in sync with each other and understanding how both the rider needs to understand how the horse works and feels under him or her, and making sure everything's working smoothly.
I would definitely agree. So how do you start that evaluation at the beginning? How do you find out how they move together as a team?
Well, initially, for example, with my lessons when I teach, the very first thing I do when I watch a person starting their lesson or starting to even approach their horse is I watch how they walk, and then I watch how the horse walks, and making sure that they're both moving evenly. That's the first thing. And then the tack would be the next immediate thing to check. So adjusting the tack to make sure it fits the horse and the rider. You know, we can go into a lot of details. The saddle, you know, being the first piece of tack to consider, has a lot to do with the balance. If it's hurting the horse, if it doesn't fit the horse properly, then the horse won't move evenly, and therefore the rider will feel some change, you know, some inconsistencies and throwing the rider off, and the rider may not even be aware of it. And once you establish the fit properly with the horse, then you've got the rider on top of the saddle that hopefully stays on top of the saddle, and you need to make sure that that same saddle fits the rider as well, because a lot of times just a stirrup adjustment can throw the rider's balance way off. And these are just small, easy fixes that I look for right in the beginning as the horse and rider start to walk up as a team to start the lesson. And making sure those things are adjusted right in the beginning can just build that solid foundation for success of the lesson, you know, without even anybody realizing it.
Robin, can you give our listeners an example of when you adjusted stirrups and it dramatically changed balance?
Sure. I have one lady, for example, that she rode for a long time, got in an accident with her horse, and one side of her body was injured, and she didn't realize it, but it was shorter. And she had one stirrup about three holds shorter than the other. And her horse was having a really hard time taking the lead in the canter in that direction. And we just finally stopped, and, you know, we did everything. She explained everything, and we did a whole bunch of different adjustments. And finally, I stopped her, and I said, you know, let's look at the basics. Let's look at your foundation. And her, you know, I had thought we adjusted it in the beginning, but something we overlooked because she brought her horse and saddle, and it was going on for a long time. And so these are things you have to check constantly. We adjusted the stirrups, and it took a little while because the horse was used to the weight being distributed differently. But once we adjusted it and then she stretched that one side of her body out, the horse picked up its lead easily. So
very
it's
nice.
Just a small change that, you know, can develop over time from things that you don't even realize. And then, you know, it causes other problems like that. So
if you're checking the horse, whether it's on the ground or while somebody is up on the horse, what are you looking for? Are you looking for even gait distribution? What are you looking for when you check the horse?
The gait distribution is one thing for sure. Watching the evenness of the footfalls, that the horses will track evenly. You can look in the ground. Also, head bobbing is one thing. Those are pretty obvious things to see. But then there's things like not taking the proper lead that, like we talked about a minute ago, you know, really fighting it. There could potentially be things that are bothering the horse that can affect their way of going. you know, lameness is one, but even teeth. You know, if their teeth are sore, then they may brace on one side, and that, you know, that tooth is bothering them, and then it creates a problem in how they move, and the rider compensates for that, and then, you know, you have an issue with evenness and balance, and it comes from their teeth. So there's so many different things to look for. I always give the horse the benefit of the doubt if there's a problem, and making sure that horse is comfortable, and that the horse, you know, even chiropractic adjustment, if their back is not level, you know, look for things being level and even.
I think that's so true, and people don't realize that, you know, unlike us, that the minute we get an ache and pain, we can verbalize that, and somebody
right.
else can understand that, right? A horse cannot do that. So
exactly.
the way that the horse has to let us know, and some of our horses, are they so stoic? They're so stoic
right.
that it takes quite a bit before they're going to tell you that there's pain. And then we have other horses that are, you know, really kind of wimpy. And the minute they get anything, they're like, oh, I'm three-legged lame, right? So there is definitely
right.
that difference that you have to look for, and that would definitely affect balance. I could understand that.
Well, and
so
the
what
thing
are
–
oh, I'm sorry.
Well, what
no,
I was going to say about the balance piece is that when a – If it's a lesson horse and you ride it, and we've all had this experience, you get on the horse and you hadn't been on the horse for a while, and, wow, this feels weird. What's going on with this horse's back end? But if it's a horse you ride every day and it's your horse and you ride it, and things develop over time that can throw you off and you don't even realize. So important to really pay attention every day when you get your horse out of the pasture, when you lead your horse, you know, looking for anything that's different, feeling anything as soon as you get on in the warm-up. Because there's these things sneak up on you, you know, over time. The same with a rider, you know, your body shortening on one side or leaning to one side, and that's why lessons and, you know, just paying attention to little things every day make a big difference.
So what do we do then? We've kind of talked about the horse a little bit. So how about riders, if they have imbalance issues and they're not centered over their horse, what are some exercises that can help the rider?
That's a great question, because the rider is, you know, we do things every day that can change our body's balance. And we talk about yoga and stretching, and stretching can be a great thing. But the thing that I look for before we even get into that is the very obvious things are shoulders not being level, knees not being the same height if the stirrups are the same length. And then, you know, sitting part, you know, crooked in the saddle, those are real obvious things. But the thing about it is exercises, the horse is an amazing leveler, you know, for therapeutic riding and every and non-therapeutic riding. And it's therapy just having, just sitting on the horse. So I like to do a lot of exercises bareback. Or if you can't do bareback, then without stirrups on a lunge line, or, you know, depending on the horse, and making sure that everything's under control, obviously, and the rider needs to be relaxed. But to help the horse and the rider needs to be relaxed and balanced and using their body equally on both sides. We're, most of us are right-handed or left-handed, and we only use that one side. And riders, to be effective, need to be ambidextrous. So that means you have to work on exercises to balance and even yourself out. So I don't know if we're going down the wrong trail here, but some exercises, you know, without stirrups, you can be on a lunge line and be going in circles and then using your legs to help turn the horse in a different direction or to move the horse laterally with just your legs and then just your weight and all those different things. And without a saddle, it's even more effective because you can really feel the horse move under you.
Absolutely. I'll tell you, I love with my students doing one stirrup work, because reality is if you ride the stirrups, you're going to lose probably one at a time, not both. And boy, riding with both feet out of the stirrups is really easy in comparison to riding
yeah.
with just one foot out of the stirrup. It's
well,
crazy how much that affects you.
Well, it goes right back to the balance. It's a very good point, because if you're using your stirrups for balance and leaning on one and not two, you know, and you're leaning on them, that can be something that throws your balance off. It's a great balance exercise. And you're right. You generally lose one and not both. So
absolutely. So it's fun to be able to practice that at all three gates once you get to the point where you can, you know, and,
sure,
and you feel comfortable doing so.
Oh, growing up as a kid, I remember my instructor would torture us without stirrups, and I thought it was torture, and now I do it. I think it's great. So.
And now that we're instructors, we get to torture our students. See, what goes
That's
around
right.
comes around. Pay it forward.
That's right. There you go. Exactly.
So does strength relate to balance also? Do you think that you have to be strong to be balanced, or do you not?
Absolutely. In fact, it's a double-edged sword. Strength, core strength and isometric strength and all the things, they're definitely related. People talk about, you know, isometric balance exercises on balance balls and everything. Little background noise, I guess, but I think that it's two things. You have to stretch. If you're getting strong, you have to work on stretching as well as strength, because tightness can hurt balance. Does that make sense? If you're tight on one side, just like we talked about before with that one lady, tightness can be really pulling you in one direction versus the other and throwing you off balance. But you have to be strong enough to really hold yourself in one direction, you know, evenly on the horse. Does that make sense? So your core balance is so important, and your core strength. And that's one thing, as far as strength and balance for a rider, I've noticed people do a lot of exercises, sit-ups and crunches and everything for your core, your back, your lower back. But riding a horse is one of the best exercises you can find for that, to strengthen that. It really isometrically helps you stay strong and stay and to stay in the center of your horse. Your little muscles are constantly, you know, they're constantly working to keep you upright and adjusting to those side to side and forward and circular motions. And that's where it's such a therapeutic exercise as well. And just personally, I've found when I had a baby recently and I haven't been on a horse as much, and I can really see a difference. It's the longest I've been off a horse my whole life. And I can really see a difference in the strength of my back and my balance, even on the ground, because my core isn't nearly as strong as it used to be.
Yep.
So,
but having a baby should help you balance, right? Because you always have them on one side and you're always trying to still stay sitting up straight. So doesn't that help? Right?
That's a really good point. It's when I get back on a horse, I may be really lopsided, but I may hold the baby on one side and be leaning off the horse because I've been holding.
Are you saying that those with twins are straighter because they got one on each side?
Very likely.
Probably.
It's very likely. Yes.
We should do a research paper on it.
I think that's a great idea.
I'll let you have that one, Chris. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, Robin, I think you have brought up some really good points about balance. And how do our listeners find you? Do you want them to find you off of our CHA page? They can go ahead and type in your name on chainstructors.com, and I know they can find you that way. What would you like them to do?
That's a great way to find me. You can just go, like you said, to the CHA website, and I'm on the instructors page. And you can always email me from there. That's the best way. I check email most frequently. Sometimes I don't have good cell service, so that's the best way to get me.
Okay, well, that sounds good. Thank you so much today for being on and discussing some of these balance issues. It's a thing that, and it doesn't matter. I think when we switch disciplines, balance gets all readjusted. When we switch saddles, balance gets all readjusted. When we switch horses, balance gets all readjusted. We're constantly, you know, kind of learning and finding what that sweet spot is on our horse and how we kind of stay in the middle. And, you know, a big difference between arena work where you're mainly level and flat and then bring it up a notch and go out on the trail with steep hills up and down. And, boy, does that affect things, too. So
well, that's absolutely
lots of good
true.
Information.
And the thing is, a lot of the exercises that you do with your horse are working on balance anyway. But like you said, if you can take it out of the arena, go around trees or up or down hills, over obstacles, that just adds complexity and difficulty. But it's it's really helping both the horse and the rider work on balance. So,
well, super, Robin. Thanks so much for being on today.
Hey,
thanks,
Robin,
for having me. It was great to talk to you guys.
Before we let you go, I got to talk to you a little bit about Granbury, Texas. It sounds pretty.
Especially this time of year.
Is it the old, is it kind of got the old Western downtown going on?
Oh, absolutely. Granbury downtown, there's actually a lake on one side of it that runs through it. And there's an old square that's preserved very well. Big courthouse in the middle, lots of little shops around the edges, the four-sided, you know, the four-sided now, square with four stop signs around the courthouse and restaurants and shops and bed and breakfasts. And it's a tourist point. We're about 40 miles southwest of Fort Worth. So that
okay, so you're not too far out of Dallas then. All right.
No,
cool.
It's real easy to get to, and a lot of people stop in for the weekend and tour
around.
Well, there's
two things my random memory brings up when it comes to Granbury, and one is I think it had something to do with Davy Crockett, didn't it?
Yes, Elizabeth Crockett is buried here.
His wife.
That's Davy, his wife, yes.
Right,
yep.
Okay.
You're very,
and
you're
then
right.
I think I remember, because I remember reading this in a book, that the Alamo, everybody that died at the Alamo, their families all got farms around where Granbury is in Texas. The government gave them all homesteads up there.
I don't know, but it's very likely. Yep. I'm not sure. There was quite a bit of old history around here. There's a historic, there's a jail, and there's a lot of history right on the square. And there's
and
a
then,
bunch of...
The other thing I was going to say I remember is, didn't you guys have a big tornado not too long ago?
Yes, last year, actually. It was the week before the Moore, Oklahoma tornado, so it sort of got lost in the press because the Moore, Oklahoma tornado trumped ours by a little bit. But we had it was, as the crow flies, about a half a mile from our house. We saw it, and we were trying to decide which culvert we were going to get into for a storm shelter under the ground, because it had water in it anyway. It was a little freaky, and it did hit just down the road from us. And a major horse breeder, actually breeds racehorses, lost quite a few horses. So it was right here, and this time of year brings that back because it's tornado season again. So
yeah, and I know that's something that you know, nobody ever wants to experience. And boy, you guys, you know, and people don't think about Texas when it comes to tornadoes, but you have a lot of them. There's a lot of them in Texas.
This area, it's still in Tornado Alley. We're a little tiny bit south and a little bit east. We're just off tiny bit. You know, last year was not typical, but if you go north and east of here, just a hair, it's right in the middle of Tornado Alley. So south of the Red River.
We live in Ocala, Florida, and, you know, we're known for lightning, and, you know, we're the lightning capital of the world, Florida. And we actually had right off, and a lot of our listeners will know that are horse people, off of Route 200, there's a lot of senior developments here, and they had what they think was a small tornado come through the senior developments and do a bunch of damage last night, actually, during the storms we had last
goodness.
Month. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it can happen anywhere. But I know people in other countries go that don't get tornadoes are just mesmerized by the whole fact that we do.
I would just as soon skip it myself.
Exactly.
It definitely gives you a helpless feeling.
Well, this has been fascinating. Sorry about that, Christy. I had to do the history lesson here.
Oh, I love that. It's wonderful.
Well, I learned something too, and I live here, so that's great.
Well, thanks, Robin.
So, thanks. I appreciate it. Great talking to you guys.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks for having
me. Her last name's Postman. Now, it makes you wonder where that comes from, right?
It does. It does. That's actually a really good point, and I've never asked her that.
I'm full of random stuff today. Sorry.
I love it. Randomness is good. Okay, well, I'm going to ask her now and find out, and I will let you know.
Yeah, you got to wonder if they were postmen. You know, were they part of the... You know, were they riding horses, delivering the mail? You know, where did that come from? What's the history of that? I don't know. Well, while Jennifer's getting the next guest on so we can continue our of a balance today, let's listen to a song. I have Settle Down Cinderella by Patty Hall, who is a rider out on the West Coast. I think she is from Washington State. So So let's take a listen. We'll be right back with more from the Certified Horsemanship Association.
Friday night and the phone won't ring. You let it get you so blue. You're climbing the walls of your pink bedroom. Feels like the world's leaving you behind. But girl, I got good news. There's a storybook ending. It's waiting for you.
That was Patty Hall and Settle Down Cinderella, and she was an inspiration and one of Templeton Thompson's mentors to get her going in her younger days. So you can find all of her music at pattyhall.com. All right, we are here with the Certified Horsemanship Association. We have Christy with us today. I am Glenn the Geek, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair. You are listening to Horses in the Morning. And we are brought to you today by Balance Rider. You can find, if you missed the earlier part interview we did with Jim, it was absolutely fascinating. You can go back to our recorded version and check it out. But you can find them at balancerider.com. All right, we are ready, Christy.
Wonderful. Our next guest up, Glenn, is Tara Reimer. And Tara has been involved with horses for many, many years. She and her husband, Derek, own and operate Cloud Nine Ranch near Steinbach, Manitoba. And she is a clinic instructor for us. She's also our regional director up there in that area for Region 2. She was also awarded our Instructor of the Year just a few years ago. She's an AQHA professional horsewoman and a longtime exhibitor through AQHA. And she also, interestingly enough right now, is the editorial and marketing manager for Horse Country Magazine. So she wears many hats. Hi, Tara. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Christy, Glenn, and Jen. How are you?
We're doing fine. How's everything up in Canada today?
Well, we had a few weeks of beautiful sunny weather, and today there is snow blowing.
Oh, geez. Well, that just stinks when you're coming into May and it's snowing. Hey,
I know. Our May
started,
long
Tara, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just saying that our May long weekend is May 18th, and we often go trail riding that weekend, and there's often snow on the ground yet. So we know it's coming for a few more weeks yet.
You know, Florida isn't full yet. I'm just saying. There is room. Tara, I got to ask you, I know no random facts. I've been full of random facts this morning, but I know no random facts about Manitoba. So give us one thing that we need to know about Manitoba.
Well, a random fact, I'm not saying I'm proud of this, but we have the largest mosquitoes.
Do you really?
The size of the number.
No, size.
Yeah?
Oh, wow. Yeah, and it's pretty bad because they even bite through the Wrangler jeans when you're riding on a bad year. Yeah, they get pretty nasty.
You have some serious blood-sucking mosquitoes up there. Okay, so
yes,
it's
they
snowing
are.
In May, and you have the mosquitoes the size of birds. Why exactly do you live there again? What was the reason? Just checking.
It's kind of like a happy medium, and then it just makes when we go on vacation to Florida that much more enjoyable.
Oh, there you go.
She's good, isn't she, Glenn?
yeah, she's selling it.
So, Tara, we've had such a good show today because, of course, Jim came on to talk about his product to help riders and instructors with their balance, and then we had Robin on talking about it, and I would love to get your perspective of balance because everyone has a different opinion of what balance exactly is and how it functions. So what is your definition of that and how it all relates to riding?
Sure, and I was actually listening to the show and quite enjoyed listening as well as that new product, that balance rider. I was already looking up at how to order one. That is really a neat product. As far as balance, I think for me the easiest is if a listener can think of a figure skater and you think of somebody being on skates, and then my definition of balance would be staying in a specific frame or body position while you perform a specific maneuver and maintain rhythm. And so for me, I can look at a figure skater and know somebody that does that at a high level is obviously balanced because they have another object like their skate they have to stay on. Now, horse riding is just that much more difficult because our second thing, like the skater has skates, ours is actually another breathing, moving animal that has all these different variables to it. So that would be my idea of, to imagine, you know, or a tightrope walker, what is balance, that they have to be able to maintain that while doing a specific maneuver while within rhythm and not floundering all over and falling and arms, you know, flailing and all sorts.
Very true. So if you're now the instructor, how can you tell if a person if a horse is unbalanced, so if you're watching either from the ground or when somebody's up on the horse or you're riding the horse, how can you tell that the horse is unbalanced?
Sure, and we do a lot of training here, and so it's quite fascinating to have so many outside horses coming in to be trained, and then we have the privilege of being able to work with their owners to be able to make that team be more effective, and that's really an honor for us to be able to help them through that. And so some of the groundwork exercises that we do with the horse to make sure they're balanced is we don't do the regular lunging so much anymore, but we do a smaller circle and then just ask the horse to reverse towards us and go the other direction. And it is absolutely amazing how a lot of the, or all unbalanced horses will freeze up in the shoulder and they don't want to switch sides, they don't want to shift their weight back. And then also when they do turn, usually when they're moving to the right, they are less balanced because we work so much on the left side of the horse that we create that. But as the horse is moving to the right around us, they'll actually trot off completely on their own, not because we've asked them. And then we'll reverse them again, and they'll walk going to the left most often. And then we go to the right again, and we just keep doing that exercise. It may take a couple of minutes until the horse walks and freely moves through the shoulder. And that's just one ground exercise that I start with just to get the balance, because before I get on the horse or we'll put a rider on that horse, I want to make sure that that horse is balanced. And that's just one of many groundwork exercises.
That's very good. That does make sense, because they do get locked up in their shoulder or locked up in their hip or whatever the case may be. And boy, do you experience that a lot when they drop their shoulder when you're riding them. All of a sudden, it's like, uh-oh, where'd the horse go? So, correct. To get them all to be balanced ahead of time is just super. So what do you do as far as exercises for the horse? Maybe give us one or two when we're actually up on them.
Well, on the horse, then another exercise, and it changes. Let me just back up and say that because we do these exercises on the ground and then you add weight and restriction of a saddle, then that the horse has to change their balance. So it's often riders don't understand that. And so I just, you know, if you think of giving somebody a piggyback ride, as soon as the person on my back, let's say it's an 8-year-old child, so someone of some significant weight, changes, you know, what they're wearing or how they're sitting or their weight. Obviously, an 8-year-old heavier person would be more difficult to balance effectively. That's essentially what you're doing to the horse. So you can get a horse balanced on the ground. That would be like me just going through an obstacle course all on my own, and I don't have to worry about anybody else. But as soon as you add a rider to their back, that's like me now giving somebody a piggyback ride. And often it's the riders that, first of all, even take the focus away from the horse by not being balanced and then just make it more difficult. So just to imagine that first, that just because your horse may go through all these maneuvers and be balanced on the ground does not mean that it is the same. So to start off with, we do those same exercises when the rider is up on their back. And so the first one we do as soon as the rider is on the horse's back is we do what's called disengagement, which is to get the hind end to the crossover. So if you imagine going to the right, you pick up the same rein and you push with the same leg. So you would pick up the right rein, just ask the nose to come bend around, and then you push with your right leg further back on the rib cage, and you actually want the horse's hind end to cross over. And a lot of horses that aren't balanced, they kind of stumble or they rush through that, and it's not really smooth. And again, if we go back to my definition of balance, if they can maintain that frame while performing the maneuver and maintaining a rhythm, then we know that they have balance. So we just stay in that position until they relax and they are able to cross their hind legs over, and then everything is good, and then we release, and then we make sure that you always work both sides, always.
So how can you tell if the person themselves is unbalanced, and what are some exercises to help the actual person get better balance?
Well, let's accept the fact that most people are unbalanced, and if I could give you this little example, which was really neat just a few weeks ago, I was at our winter fair, and there's a gentleman, which he claims to be an equestrian marshal, and now that's a whole nother topic, but somebody that has looked from the army, the lost army trade, that looks at the whole horse and rider combination, and absolutely fascinating to me because they were in the army camps way back in the bush, and they had to figure out how to get these sore horses that maybe got their foot stuck somewhere between a log, and they had to, as a team, get that horse back up and running and match them to correct riders so they could be effective in the army way years ago. So taking that idea, this gentleman came up to me at the trade show, and he says, yeah, you're really tight on your right side, and your right leg is shorter. And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. And he says, and you don't see as well through that eye. And I'm like, wow, like, you're right. And I said, actually, my right hip is out, you know, standing on concrete all week. And I said, yeah, my right shoulder hurts, and I actually have tingling on the right side of my face. And I said, absolutely, you're right. And he says, I can see that looking at you. And so we went through this series of interesting little tests that he did to prove to me that what he was seeing was correct. And in the end, he had me put a little catalog, maybe a half inch high under my right heel. And I could see equally out of both eyes. And it took all the strain off my body simply because, as most people, one leg is shorter than the other. So it goes beyond just saying we have one leg shorter than the other and adjusting a stirrup, because it actually affects our body's throughout the day and the strain that we put on it. So our bodies try to compensate for that. So that was really eye-opening. But to do some exercises with the riders is that I get them to do a ride with both hands, or meaning that I'll get them in our Western or even in the English, put the reins in the left hand, and I'll get them to swing their right arm like a pendulum, like it would be on a big grandfather clock, just to find some rhythm and to be able to balance through that. And then switching hands, which often when they're using their weaker side, then it creates imbalance. You talked about doing the one stirrup exercises. I think that's fabulous. I also do one where they take both feet out of their stirrups and they have to lift their knees up, both of their knees up, and be able to balance on their seat bones. And that often scares a lot of riders, that they have to let go with their legs. So there's a few of those exercises that we can do, but to also realize that everybody effectively is imbalanced in some way or other.
Those are some really good exercises, and ones that, you know, people can do not only on top of the horse, but even just sitting in a chair, right? Or probably sitting on Jim's and balance rider apparatus that he talked about earlier. Boy, lifting up both of your legs simultaneously, talk about feeling your seat bone and really engaging that. And you're right, letting go with your leg. I really like that one. So what are, Tara, some common errors that a horse might make that are actually the rider error?
Well, and that's the thing that I like to teach, is that our riders always ask themselves first when a horse does do something that is not what they had expected, is first of all, ask the question to yourself, okay, what did I just do? And not always assume that it's the horse, and then have a heavy hand with that. I don't have a lot of patience with that. I you know, our horses put up with us, and we talked about lesson horses having so many different riders and so many different levels of strength and weak areas that riders have, and it's really actually difficult in lesson horses, and I find them quite protective of my horses. But one of the, you know, you were asking about a rider error that causes the horse to not do something is, let's say, in the backup. And in the backup, a lot of people, they bump with both legs and not equally with the horse's rhythm. And then that actually will throw a horse's rhythm and stride off. If people would understand that a horse backs up in a trot, which is a two-beat gait, and it's the same as a person walks. So if this is a new concept to you or you don't really understand and you're listening, just walk across wherever you are and let your arms swing. And you'll notice that people actually walk in a two-beat gait, which is how the horse trots. So effectively, as a person, my arms would be the horse's front legs and my legs are the horse's back legs. And when you just walk across the room freely swinging your arms and legs move in a two-beat motion, which is exactly how the horse jogs or trots. And in the backup, it's the same. And so as you do that, notice how your rib cage moves side to side, especially as your arms, which are the horse's front legs, will swing. And then understand that you want, when you ask your horse to back up, you want to help the horse. So as the horse's front left leg, for example, comes back, the rib cage moves to the right to get out of the way, to allow that front left leg to come back, and then you just use your left leg and swing it along with the barrel to help the horse lengthen that stride and actually help him make that backup stride a little smoother. And I find it really hard to watch riders that don't understand that, and they pull on the horse's face and then they bump, 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 not in a rhythm that has anything to do with the horse, and it's actually getting in the horse's way. So that's a big one for me, is backing up.
And that's great, Tara, because like you said, balance is also your balance of how you aid and give your cues and aids to the horse. If you're not doing that in rhythm and timing with the horse, and you're not doing that correctly, then you can actually impede the horse's backwards, forwards, lateral, sideways, whatever movement. And to move with the barrel is absolutely huge. I know we talk about that too with lateral movement, like leg yielding or side passing, going sideways, that you want to cue when the inside hind leg of the horse is up. That way when you actually push on the barrel of the horse, it's actually going to get some of that crossover, like you were talking about when we first get on and you kind of get the horse to disengage their hind end, that same kind of idea. It's much, much easier to get crossover when the leg's in the air than when the leg's stuck on the ground. So, yes, all of that balance, timing, rhythm, and feel, even at just walk, and once you master it at walk, then moving on to the faster gaits is so important. I just think that that's great. What other exercise would you like to kind of end today with that's really important to you when it comes to balance, whether it's at walk, trot, canter, jog, lope, for the if you're riding Western, whatever the case may be? What one would you really like to leave us with today that's important to you?
Well, I think if, and it depends whether you're a beginner student or that you are, you know, a trainer trying to work with your horses, because that makes a difference. I know that if I would say as somebody that's improving the balance of the horse, I would do lots of bending, lots of turns, lots of ground rails to be able to maintain that frame and that rhythm. So a pole work is excellent, and in fact, that is great for riders to develop their seat. And so we often in our lessons have ground poles all over the arena so that they not only have focus points but also that they can work on that balance as they go over the poles and maintaining that rhythm. It just adds a little degree of difficulty. And they can be single poles even. Don't have to do, you know, a whole long series of poles. Definitely you can progress to that. So I would say that's something that people can do at home, and they'll know whether it feels right or not. If the horse breaks gait or flips their head, that you know that you don't have balance, or if they speed up or slow down. So pole work will be an excellent kind of test for yourself to see if you can do that as a rider and as a horse team together.
That's really good. And like you said, just scattered throughout, so not like a series of them all in a row. And would you recommend doing all three gaits over those poles?
Absolutely, you can. The most difficult is the jog or trot, definitely. I find that the single poles in the lope or canter, the horses actually just, at least ours, they just go over it and it's no big deal. And in that stride, they're already stretching out. So it doesn't give as much up or lift through the horse to throw the rider off balance. So I would say that the canter or lope, even though riders often are intimidated by it, it's actually not as challenging for them. So I would say the jog or trot is definitely what you could spend most of your time doing over the ground poles.
It's a really good idea. And then what's fun about that, you know, we often talk about on this show, it's great to have some arena time or pasture time or whatever you have with your individual horse, but then also then you can apply all this stuff outside of the arena, because now these poles that you're using inside the arena become the log on the trail. Or the, you know, the bridge that you're practicing in the arena becomes the actual bridge out on the trail. So all of those things are really good to do some cross training. So what is your overall takeaway lesson when it comes to balance, and kind of an overall sum it up for today's show?
Overall, I would just like people to think about their horse, be technical when they're riders. I, you know, do think of what the horse has to put up with. And even when you're visiting with your friends and twisting and turning on the horse a lot, and I just cringe when I see people just, you know, riding and just not having real balance and being all over the place and looking left and looking right and down and up and all over. And then getting after the horse for not walking straight. So I guess my plea is just to riders to be more attentive, think about their horses and their welfare, and just realize that 99% of the horses out there are trying to be a willing and cooperative partner for you, if we could just learn how to communicate in the way that they do. And so just to be kind to that idea, and put yourself in what it might be like for them. So always just go back to the piggyback analogy and see what that would be like for you. So that's what I would hope. And, you know, our motto here is for the horse's sake at Cloud Nine Ranch, and that's definitely where our heart is to do what we can to make it the best for the horse.
So, Tara, how do people find you? If they want to know more and hunt you down, how do they find you?
Sure. Well, they could take a drive across the border, as most of your listeners may be in the U.S., and come up north. It's really not that bad, even though I'm telling you that it's – I checked the Fahrenheit. It's 28, so I'm not sure if that's cold to you guys there, 28 Fahrenheit. But
yeah, it's pretty chilly.
Below freezing.
Slow freezing.
Correct. Yeah, correct. So we have a website. It's Cloud 9 Ranch, and it's the number 9. And the reason it's called Cloud 9 is because my mom always said that I was on Cloud 9 when I was working with horses. So, and that's very true for most of the people that come here. Yeah. And so we have our website, cloud9ranch.ca, definitely on Facebook as well under Cloud 9 Ranch or Tara Reimer. And we also have the CHA Region 2 Facebook page. So there's those different ways that they can contact us.
And I only have one more question. Do you have to bring your own insect repellent, or do you provide it, mosquito repellent?
We provide it, and
okay,
we also have, this is funny, we actually have big fly swatters that we use that are made out of leather.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Those are some
they...
tough mosquitoes that she's dealing with up there.
Glenn, I have to ask you.
Regular fly swatter doesn't cut it.
Glenn, I have to ask you if you got your team of Belgians yet.
No, I haven't. Nope, I'm still driving my pony.
We had a driving clinic here just 2 weeks ago. We were all driving a team of, or a four-horse hitch, and it was just absolutely thrilling to be able to do that confidently. That was very cool.
Isn't that cool? I mean, I have driven fours before, and it's something else. And then when you're sitting above those horses in the wagon, it's just amazing the amount of power those draft horses have.
Yeah, there is nothing like it. The rumble, and yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah. See, I'm going to convert everybody eventually, Christy.
I think it's good. We should all try it for sure. I agree 100%.
Definitely. Well, thank you, Tara. It's Cloud 9, the number 9, ranch.ca. Well, that was a fascinating conversation. Very good.
Yeah, she's so good, isn't she, about describing things visually for us, even though we're
right.
in an auditory mode. She's very
right.
good
and,
about
you know,
that, giving us analogies.
Is, and that's a talent, because some of this stuff is hard to do talk about without seeing it. So everybody did a good job today talking about it. It was very, very well done. Well, Christy,
yeah,
I got to
stay balanced mentally and physically.
I think that's about all the time we have for today. We will be back tomorrow. Jamie will be here on our normal Wednesday show. So take a look for us then at 9 a.m. here Eastern on Horses in the Morning. And, of course, you can find all the past episodes of the Certified Horsemanship Association, Christy's past episodes, at horsesinthemorning.com. And you also have a page on your website too, right?
We sure do. Yes, you just go to chainstructors.com, go on the education tab, and the radio show is right there.
Very good. Sounds like a plan. And then also don't forget that the easiest way to listen, I mentioned her earlier in the show, is through our app, iOS or Android. Just search for Horse Radio Network, and Horses in the Morning is one of 8 different shows on the app. It's very easy, simple, free to use. And most people, about 60% of our people now listen on their phones while they're cleaning stalls or driving or riding their horses or whatever. So take a listen. That's probably the simplest way to do that. And one of the cautions I would provide, I got an email from a guy the other day. When you're downloading shows, if you download them or stream them to your phone, if you don't have an unlimited data plan, then you might want to do it when you're on Wi-Fi, because then it'll use your Wi-Fi instead of your data cap. Yeah, so that's just, he ran into his data cap and he blamed me. So that is something that you do have to pay attention to. You know, one of the nice things about most smartphones nowadays is you can check your data usage right on your phone, which you didn't used to be able to do in the old days. So you can do that now and make sure.
You can even sometimes set them up to get a text when you're about to hit your max.
I did that. I actually hit my max a couple months ago, and now I have the text set up. Because it's pretty expensive once you go over your cap. So, yeah, you definitely want to make sure you're probably doing it on Wi-Fi or download them. But you can do with our app is you can download the episodes to your phone while you're on Wi-Fi and then listen later. So they're just stored on your phone that way. So if you're driving in an area without Wi-Fi, you can still listen to the shows. I think about it. Christy, one more time, the website for the CHA.
Yes. Please come visit us, chainstructors.com.
Thank you so much, Christy, and thank you, everybody. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Be safe and wear your helmet.